Dragon Show Show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cav the Don, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy, Roose Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
You still ain't call me.
On demand. Peaches, I know I've been meaning to call you for a week now.
No, you full of shit. I'm divorcing you.
Don't yell at me, Peaches, all right?
No, just keep it all because I feel neglected.
You just been gone out of my life, and I'm just sad.
And you don't even care. You don't even care.
Because the pain of calling you would be too much. The sound of your voice makes my eyes water.
You dramatic jerk.
Do you just call me a dramatic jerk?
Yes.
That's good. I actually like that. That's funny. We're back here with part two of our interview with Kyle Hubbard and Peaches. I know you tuned in last week and you heard what he said about Yeezus. This week you're tuning in and you're going to see what he has to say about John Cena. Because we talk
but
wrestling.
They said that John Cena was fine because John Cena is fine. Like, he's fine.
You think John Cena's fine?
Yeah.
You like you some Cena?
Yeah.
Who do you think's more attractive, John Cena or The Rock?
See, I figure my babies will come out prettier with The Rock because I don't know what he is. I don't know. I have no idea.
The Rock is Samoan and black.
See, we got to be Samoan and black babies. That would be perfect.
Those would probably be attractive babies. I'm not going to lie to you.
That would be some pretty tight babies.
But then you could have just mulatto children with John Cena.
I mean, yeah, but why not have Samoan and black babies with The Rock?
So you would pick The Rock over John Cena?
Yeah, I would, because I'd probably get further with The Rock than I would with John Cena. I don't know how John Cena feels about black girls.
Hey, John Cena likes all women. Go listen to his Howard Stern interview.
That's my problem. Then I would have to shank John Cena.
Don't shank John Cena. John Cena doesn't do anything to deserve shanking. He's just a 14-time world heavyweight champion. Maybe more by the time this airs.
Maybe more.
Maybe
that
more.
That means his ego too big, and I don't want to deal with him.
His ego might not be the only thing that's big.
Well, I'm alone, you know.
But The Rock is Samoan and black, so it could go either way.
You know what I'm saying? I like those odds.
Okay, weird. Go subscribe to the Brad Gilmore Show on iTunes. Follow us on social media. Oh, wow.
Pause.
Well, this is when this airs, we forgot on the last show. It was my birthday by the time it aired. I'm older now.
Oh, you are.
It's weird. So I'm just going to speak in advance. I had a good birthday.
You know.
I don't know, but I think I had a good birthday.
You had a good birthday?
I'm hoping I did.
We'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
We'll talk about it in 2 weeks, and I'll tell you how my birthday went when I know how it went.
Even though it was last week.
Even though it was last week, we'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
Welcome to the most confusing morning show ever.
Welcome to the most confusing morning show ever. Exactly. Well, with
Come
that being
demand.
Said... This is confusing mornings on demand with Brad Gilmore and DJ Motai and Peaches. With that being said, DJ Motai, why don't you play us?
Why?
I said, why
don't
you play
Brad
us?
A happy birthday song from a week ago.
Play me a happy birthday song from a week ago. All
right.
And then play some regular stuff. I like Stevie Wonder's version of Happy Birthday. I'm going to be honest with you. So y'all stay tuned here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand for our part two interview with Kyle Hubbard. Y'all stay tuned. DJ Motai.
I ain't spinning on the finest green, but that don't mean that I ain't high. I'm willing to step off the ledge to get my chance to paint the sky. And if you feel the same as I, then throw your lighters in the air. And to my sisters with the swishes, hope you bitches like to share. It's half as much you like to stare. I swear I vibe by city lights. I'm living life as if I know that I won't get to live it twice. I never had no keys at Coke, but got some to a new place. I still reside inside the land of candy paint and screw tape. Alright, I'm getting lifted in a system that'll stone a man for living. Every lesson I've been given is now hidden in the rhythm. Underneath the beat, between the notes and melodies, I'm selling me to anybody smart enough to listen. On a mission, if you ride and hope, you know that I ain't staring back. Cause you can build a home of gold, but in the end it still collapse. Cause I love the shit enough to roll the dice and try my
my luck. Sucks that I ain't famous yet. Whatever though, I'm high as fuck.
And this could be your final chance to die inside a good time. So if you're building, catch a blaze and take it as a good sign. I ain't got no water, but ain't no one seem to care at all. Cooling in the flame, I see the thing is I ain't scared at all. One time for your H-Town. Two times for your H-Town, yeah. Nothing you can say to me when I'm at home. Mine is thrown, plus I got the city in my styrofoam.
I remember being 10, sitting on the school bus next to Mr. Hubbard. Funny, now we fucking grew up. So many people come to me and talking like you blew up. But I'm just kind of befuddled, like, wait, how the fuck you knew us?
What?
Anyways, dig into the essence of the fruit that is forbidden when delivered to the peasants, like a moon that has been bitten and will split into a crescent. It's exemplary of weathering as you go through progression.
Yeah.
You feeling me, y'all? Shooting a rock and I dribble the ball. Fucking a bitch with a kid and a dog. Spitting these writtens, I'm getting it all. Realize you went rubbing and roost. You might as well go find a sorcerer and summon the truth. We're swinging on some big tires, sitting up in a coupe. Smoking something dedicated, though it's troubling you. I'm giving instruction for destruction. Finna combust in a booth. So grab a blunt, a double cup, and a brew until the supper is
through. This could be your final chance to die inside a good time. So if you build it, catch a blaze and take it as a good sign. I ain't got no water, but ain't no one seem to care at all. Cooling in the flame, I see the thing, cause I ain't scared at all. One time for your H-Town. Two times for your H-Town, yeah. Nothing you can say to me when I'm at home. Mine is thrown, plus I got the city in my styrofoam.
People say I'm bitter, I'm like Diabon, my eyes are open. I'm aware without a snare that one cannot define emotion. So this time my grind is focused, playing for a winning team. I bet the Rouge remember too when it was only him and me. The mic up in my closet, rocking shows and no one winning saw. But nowadays we bout the castle, fuck the past, I hit it raw. The underdogs, they fuck them all, I'm running off the leash now with my teeth out. And I go to war with dorms until they peace out with no heat out. I just hope you give me all the props I'm due. Introduce a journalist, a rapper turned to prostitutes. And if you think it's not the truth, I bet that I'm describing you as well as your entire crew. So tell the clowns I'm not immune. Faggot ass promoters like to think that they celebrities. They telling me I'm done if I don't buy the dream they selling me. Well, I refuse to give an inch and I refuse to sit in bitch, cause my career is never his. Our chances that I didn't get.
This could be your final chance to die inside a good time. So if you build it, catch a blaze and take it as a good sign. I ain't got no water, but ain't no one seem to care at all. Cooling in the flame, I see the thing, cause I ain't scared at all. One time for your H-Town. Two times for your H-Town, yeah. Nothing you can say to me when I'm at home. Mine is thrown, plus I got the city in my styrofoam.
The Academy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Wait, what?
What?
I don't know.
And we're here. We're back here, part two, second week in a row, first time BG show history. We have Kyle Hubbard back on the podcast.
Yeah.
How's it feel, man? You had to make this drive again, come back down to Brown Sugar Studios to be with the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flairin', good hair having, entertainment world champion.
Hey, you
and
know.
DJ Motai.
You know, it's an honor. I would do the drive every day for you guys.
Look at that. You just made me feel all warm inside. Pause.
It's Christmas.
On the last show, we talked about a lot of rap music.
We did.
We talked a lot about a ribbity, ribbity, ribbity rapping.
Right, which we both have histories in.
We love rap music.
We do.
But we have another love.
We do, indeed.
Motai, do you know what our other love is?
Yes, I know what it is.
Do you really know what it is?
Yeah, but I really don't want to hear it.
Well, you're about to hear about it for another hour.
Strap in, buddy.
Strap up, because we're about to
lace those boots.
So, anyway, we're here to talk right now. Part two, professional wrestling.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
It's great. This is great. I'm excited about this because we're both huge fans of wrestling. So without further ado, let's get into it. Now, Kyle, I need you to tell me something.
Sure.
What is your earliest memory of professional wrestling?
I think Hulk Hogan. Like, I think the
brother.
My, earliest memory is some, like, you know, like Hulk Hogan doll that me and my brother had to share as little kids.
I think that's share a doll.
Yeah.
Was it like those big, like, 12-inch rubber ones?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I remember that, and I think the earliest match I can remember, and I don't think I saw it live, but Ultimate Warrior Hogan, WrestleMania 6.
WrestleMania 6, title for title.
Yeah. I think that was, like, the first big deal match where I was, like, completely enthralled with it. You know what I'm saying?
He has no idea what's going on, by the way. Motai,
I used to watch wrestling, but...
What's your earliest memory of wrestling, Motai?
The Rock.
The Rock.
It's a good era, though.
That's a good
a good time to be a fan.
What's funny is, on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, we've had two amazing professional wrestlers on the show.
Right. Former world champions, if I'm correct.
Both former world champions.
Wow.
One's a Hall of Famer.
Wow.
We've had Booker T and Diamond Dallas Page. And what's funny is, I'm here, like, sitting in these interviews, marking out.
Oh, I can imagine.
Asking every question I've ever wanted to ask. And then Motai and Peach was like, yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
We're just sitting here.
Yeah, yep. Man. We did the Booker T interview in Booker T's office at his school, WXF, and he has all, like, his
action figures.
Oh, badass.
All on the wall, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
And
yeah.
He's got, like, I think he told me he's like 32 different action figures.
Wow.
Right? And it's just like, and then they're all, like, surrounding this picture of him and Muhammad Ali, and he's throwing Muhammad Ali a right hook.
What a badass, dude.
How great is
that? I don't
think
there's any better self-display you could possibly have.
There's nothing better than that.
No.
I can't even imagine.
Were you familiar with him, like, when you saw him?
Booker T?
Yeah. So, I mean,
Booker's one of those guys who kind of transcends it a little bit, too. People know who Booker is.
Sure,
people know the
sure.
Can You Dig It and the Spinneroonie.
Yeah, Spinneroonie for sure.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Yeah. I think Can You Dig It was named one of the greatest wrestling catchphrases of all time.
As it should be. It's great.
As it should be, definitely. Yeah, it was just fun. Speaking of Muhammad Ali, tangent really quickly.
Sure.
You're a comic book fan, too.
I am.
Did you know that there's a comic book out there, a real one, Muhammad Ali versus Superman?
I am aware of it, yes.
This blew my mind.
I just found out about, like, this. A special edition of it not too long ago.
They did?
Yeah, like some hardcover edition.
And I was listening to actually some podcast, and I heard about this, and I was like, what? Who thought of that, and why was it a good idea? And then it actually, like, you look at the cover, and it looks like, man, I would actually read that. I'm not
sold?
A comic book fan, and I would for sure read that. It just looks dope. Look at that, Motai. Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Let me see it.
Look at that.
Yeah, and that's
so,
like that
so
classic.
Muhammad Ali is now a superhero.
I think the whole thing is Muhammad Ali was such a badass he could stand toe-to-toe with a superhero. And I like how they have fucking Batman right there in front row, the back of his head. You see?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Oh, look at that.
Like, fucking, he could have just gone as Bruce Wayne and no one would have known.
There's probably, yeah, but no, I'm going as Batman. There's probably so many celebrities, like, drawn into this cover we just can't see.
Right, before our time.
Yeah. A lot of them were just like, who is that? Anyway, tangent, sorry about that. So back on the pro wrestling tip. So you remember seeing Hogan. So you grew up in, like, what, like late 80s, early 90s watching wrestling or early
90s? Yeah, with pretty much a little carryover of the late 80s, mostly early 90s, and then more so Attitude Era.
More so the Attitude Era.
Like, when I was, like, 12 is when I was, like, a hardcore fan. Like, before I liked it because, you know, my brother liked it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then when I started to develop my own taste. Like around the Attitude Era, give or take.
Definitely, and me the same. You know, obviously I'm a bit younger than you, but I remember being, you know, six,
yeah,
and seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin and thinking, who is that guy? Because he's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was flicking, I wasn't flicking people off. I was shooting people the ring finger, and I had to, like, do like this on, like, my pants so I could, like, get it up. You know,
yeah.
Pause and. Pause on that whole sentence, and I was going like that. Now, I don't know if you remember that they used to serve these, like, they used to have these little cans in the grocery stores. There were treetop apple juices, and they were little mini cans. I used to take two of those, crack them open, stand on my couch, pour them in my mouth. Pause. Oh God, this is
so much pause.
So many pausings. Ah, but anyway, that's how that's what I remember. My earliest memories of wrestling. Then I found out about Shawn Michaels, and then it was over from there.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Oh my God,
yeah.
This is the greatest thing to ever walk the face of the earth.
So when you were that age, what was Shawn Michaels' status? Was he
commissioner?
Okay, yeah, I remember that vividly. Yeah. That was his in-between period.
Where he was like, I don't really know what I'm doing because I'm not wrestling anymore.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I kind of missed out on the Shawn Michaels boat, you know, because I was a WCW guy when I got back into it. Is the NWO thing was really what brought me back into it. Of course, like everybody else, you know, WCW became so terrible that you had to become a WWO fan.
They definitely forced you into being a WWF at the time fan.
Oh yeah, no, they killed it. They killed themselves. I remember specifically just that turn where I was just like, wow, WWF is so much better right now. You know, I remember they had Big Show versus Steve Austin as the main event for a Raw, and I was like, that's huge. Like, that's just like a huge match, and they're just going to give it away for free. I was like, this is amazing. You know? Yeah.
When did you find out wrestling was a work?
You know, I can't remember a time that I thought it was real. I know that obviously there was, but I found out early on, and it never, ever turned me off. If anything, it made me like it more. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I never had a moment where I was, like, heartbroken, you know? Like, when I did find out, it was such a non-thing for me, I don't even remember when it happened. You know what I mean?
I think I always remembered hearing. What, did you always know it was fake, Motai?
No, I did. I mean, I didn't pay that much attention to it, but I knew, like, people were like, oh, it's fake, and then, no, it's real, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was one of those guys who was like, no, it's real.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen, obviously, you've seen Ready to Rumble. David Arquette and whatever his name is.
Yeah, David Arquette's friend.
And he's David Arquette's friend in the movie.
Yeah.
I think his name's Sean in the movie. That's how much I don't know.
Yeah, Sean from the movie.
But, you know, when they say wrestling's fake, wrestling's not fake! Yeah. And, like, that was me for
that
sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
No! What are you saying?
You're real adamant about it?
I was very adamant about wrestling is as real as it gets.
Right. All right. Right.
And I actually had a conversation with Trey from 2011. And we talked about he was like, man, I used to think the WWF was with its own world. Like, people get kidnapped.
Yeah.
People get, like, murdered. And, like,
law enforcement involved and nothing, whatsoever.
They're there the next week.
Yeah. You know when when The Rock had to get taken out by, I forgot his name, but he had to leave an ambulance?
Okay.
Was that real?
Or was that fake? I don't know. I don't know which one you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it was fake because I don't remember any time Rock got so injured that he had to get taken out.
Okay. A work pretty much for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. If it's not, you can tell. You can see when it breaks. You know,
when that fourth wall starts
right.
But yeah, I mean, I just remember then when I kind of started getting smartened up a little bit and being like, okay, that doesn't seem like that would happen in real life.
Right.
Storyline wise, that doesn't seem real.
And like, then, you know, sworn enemies being friends, a couple months of separated from some traumatic event. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And then so it's like, then you start to really figure it all out. And then you're just like, wait a minute. I thought Triple H and Shawn Michaels were best friends. Now they're fighting for the title. Wait a minute. I was like, okay.
So many
this
swerves.
Isn't real.
But I mean, like I said, like it was never a thing. And before I wanted to do anything, before I ever picked up a pen to write a song, I wanted to be a booker in professional wrestling. Like I would get games and I'd come up with my own storylines and stuff like that. Like that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, we're about to get into so nerd talk about wrestling. It's stupid. I used to have a composition.
You know, I'm just going
to
leave for like an hour. Get some food.
Come back and do the intro.
Yeah.
I was such a nerd. In middle school, I had a composition notebook, and it was called the AWE.
Yeah.
Right? And I wrote my own like pay-per-view, and I wrote all the matches out. Like I actually wrote like what happened
like
in the
match.
Yeah, and I had my own roster. I think my tag champions were Big Rig and SUV, the monster trucks.
That is awesome. That is good. That is good for a sixth grader.
They were twins as well.
Nice.
Right? With mullets.
Yeah, yeah.
And bulletproof vests.
See, that's the thing. I remember wanting to be a booker.
Did you book yourself as the champion?
No. I always use the real guys.
Oh, okay. Know? No yeah. creator wrestlers?
Yeah, but you know what's funny is like, you know, like you when you're doing that shit, you don't take into account that people get injured and all this stuff. And like all these great storylines would all like fall to the wayside in real life. You know?
This would never happen.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Man, the marking out of the business, you know, man, we can go on for hours about our early memories.
Sure, sure.
Have you always just consistently watched it, though?
No. I mean, honestly, when I was, like, in middle school, I was embarrassed of the fact that I was in wrestling.
I think we're all closet wrestling
fans.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I had such a stigma about being a wrestling fan for years, you know? Like, probably well beyond I should have. You know, I've embraced it in the past, like, 5 years, but there was a time where I was just like, I don't want anyone to know I watch this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'll watch it.
What is it about it? Why are we so, like, I don't want to know?
I don't know, because, like, because you know that so much of it is terrible. Like, you know,
and we just like just look the other way so
like,
much.
So much. Wrestling fans do that all the time. It's not like something you can be like, look, man, I know you don't like wrestling, but if you watch on Monday, I guarantee you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, they're gonna see if like fucking Natalie farting in the back. You know, just some terrible storyline and just like, oh god, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of terrible stuff about wrestling. The storylines, especially.
A lot of it's awful.
A lot of it is.
A lot of it's
but
terrible.
I love it. I still love it. Even the terrible stuff I love.
This is funny for me to admit this. Like, I kind of like up until a couple years ago would sort of. It was almost like when you're in class or you're in a social gathering and someone said The Rock or something. You'd be like, your ears are perked up. Like,
do you smell?
Rock. Do you watch?
It's like
it's almost like going to a gay bar. Yeah. It's just like, all right. You know, going to a wrestling match is like going to a gay bar.
Right, and not knowing who's like, who.
All these are my people.
Right.
I know
right.
all these people know Absolutely. What I'm talking about. And then, wow, we've just made this whole parallel between wrestling and homosexuals.
And with all the pauses earlier, this is not going to
And with all the pauses way. Earlier. Yeah. I'm sorry, Darren Young.
I know. So insensitive.
Yeah, so it's like, but for me, it was up until, honestly, I started working in the business to where I was like, you know what? I have an excuse now.
Fuck yeah.
Matches, you
Fuck
know?
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, I mean, wrestling is just such a funny thing. And when I try to explain it to people, I'm like, okay, it's not a sport per se.
Right, right.
But it's very athletic.
Absolutely, for sure.
It's not real, but it's not completely fake.
Right.
The Rock,
right.
Because I think when people think wrestling's fake, they're like, oh, the moves don't hurt. No.
Which is bullshit.
They hurt. They hurt
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
They definitely hurt. Like, you fall
Those dudes are injured all the time.
Yeah, they work hurt half the time. The fake part is who wins the matches
right.
and the storyline.
Right, right.
But the action is pretty much real. Now, do they have ways to protect each other?
Absolutely.
Of course,
yeah.
There are certain things that they do in a certain way. But for the most part, they're actually hurting themselves. So anyone who's listening to this expecting to hear a hip-hop podcast, first of all, sorry. second of all, wrestling's not as fake as you think it is. Let's talk though. Let's go in. Who on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Oh, wow.
Is your top four?
Top four?
Mount Rushmore. There's only four faces.
Okay, well, see, this is going to be difficult because, I mean, there's always the question. If it's Mount Rushmore, it has to be people with impact.
Yeah.
Despite how I feel about them.
Yeah.
Stone Cold and Rock are on there.
Okay.
And I love both of them, so they both deserve to be there. Sorry. Hogan absolutely has to be there.
Hogan
That's
has to.
That's a given. The fourth spot could go so many ways. It could be Triple H. It could be Taker. It could be Cena. It could be fucking Dusty
Flair.
Rhodes. Flair. Yeah, I mean, man. Four is hard. Four is really
four
hard.
Four is definitely hard.
Four is real hard. But I think those three are
to
obviously
me,
have
to me,
be
you
there.
Have to put them in like, the to me, there's always been the four top guys
okay.
throughout all wrestling. There's Hulk Hogan.
Sure.
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah.
John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the most t-shirt sold top guys, for sure.
And it's just kind of what you have to go with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're the ones that competed at that millions upon millions of eyeballs on them all the
time.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Level.
It's WWE always says it, and then I don't know. People say that Stone Cold Steve Austin, fellow podcaster Stone Cold Steve Austin,
That's right.
might I add.
That's right.
Is the most popular wrestler of all time. Now, as much as I love Stone Cold Steve Austin, I do not think that you can call him the most popular professional wrestler of all time.
No, I completely agree with that.
I think Hulk Hogan is
because he
bigger.
Wasn't even like. I mean, he may have been the top dog in his day, but there was a lot of people that were just right on his heels.
The Rock.
And I think The Rock definitely surpassed him at some point. So WrestleMania 18, they went with Rock versus Hogan, not Austin Hogan, you know?
Would you have rather seen Austin Hogan, though?
No.
No?
I think Rock was the person that really needed to be Rock, for sure.
Why you say that?
Because Rock and Hogan both have, like, a very theatrical moveset where a lot of what makes their matches is kind of, like, the routines that they go through.
But to me, Rock's a good worker.
Oh, really? Yeah, absolutely.
Hogan's not.
Hogan's terrible, and age has not been good to him.
At all.
But, I mean, they kind of have the same philosophy. Like, you know, like, the people's elbow is kind of like, you know.
The leg drop.
Right, yeah, to an extent, and it's more about the fact that it's the people's elbow, you know.
He's doing this whole, like, let me take my elbow pad
right,
off.
Right, yeah. And I think they were a good match in that degree, that they both have a lot of that to their movesets. You know what I mean?
I agree. But to me, I would really like to see Hogan Austin.
I'm surprised that they didn't do both. I mean, I know they couldn't do both at WrestleMania, but at some point, both.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, you know, during that, you know what was weird about that era, like the 2000 to 2004?
Yeah.
Is that you were getting all these matches with pretty much every top superstar ever in
right,
the business.
Right, yeah.
Rock, Hogan, Austin, Triple H, Taker, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
There was a WWE Championship match on Raw, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair.
No shit.
On Raw.
And that's when Hogan won?
Was the
after
champion.
18?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe they put the belt back on him. But yeah, that's crazy. Hogan Flair. Flair on Raw in the early 2000s.
For the WWE Championship.
Wow. Man.
You got to see it. It's on YouTube. Great match.
Is it
good
really?
Match. Flair... undeniable, one of the best workers
absolutely
ever.
For
can
sure.
Make anybody look like $1 million.
That's what Flair does. I mean, yeah.
That's why he's Ric Flair. But, okay, we're jumping everywhere here.
We're
jumping a lot. We've never talked wrestling on a podcast
right,
before.
Right, yeah, no. We have so much I want to say.
It's almost like we should do this weekly.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, okay, so let's jump ahead. Did you ever fall off with wrestling?
Yeah, I mean... Let's see. I mean, okay, around WrestleMania 17 through 19, I was like a kind of a passive fan.
Same
when,
here.
When 20 came around, I was back into it because I've always been a huge Benoit fan. Like, you know, I know like people say that all the time now, but literally, I've always been a huge Benoit fan.
Yeah.
My favorite pay-per-view of all time was Fully Loaded 2000, and it was Benoit versus Rock for the title. And that was amazing to me that they put Benoit in the main event. But back to the question, WrestleMania 20, I was back into it heavy. By the time 21 came, no interest at all.
Let me ask you this about 20. Because 20 was the first WrestleMania I saw on pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
First one I bought.
Okay.
The other ones I saw on DVDs
right,
and VHSs
right. After the
and
fact.
Whatever. The main event was Triple H versus Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
The storyline, do you remember the storyline leading up into that?
I remember things about it, like Benoit won the Rumble, jumped to Raw, and Michaels
one.
Was getting, like, Michaels was like, my score's not settled kind of thing, right, with Triple H.
And then this is when Austin brings out the contract, right?
Right, right.
For Benoit and Triple H to sign
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Shawn Michaels super kicks Benoit, signs the contract.
I remember that, yeah.
That was, to me, still one of my favorite ways to set up a three-way triple threat. Pause.
Right.
Triple threat.
So much pause. So many pauses and sweaty men.
A triple threat. Yeah. A triple. That was my favorite way to set up a triple threat.
It's good. It's
Mania.
Good. Except Shawn Michaels' name would not be on the contract anywhere.
Yeah. Just because he signed it.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things with wrestling fans. We got to just look the other way.
You got to let it go. You have to let it go.
You just got to be like, all right, I'm going to suspend disbelief for a second.
Right. You have to. And that match was awesome. At
great
WrestleMania
match.
20. Great
Which
match.
Makes you think, like, I know they did, like, I think another. Was it Triple H, John Cena,
and Orton? At WrestleMania 24, I think.
24, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember them not liking that one so much.
Yeah, there was a period where the WrestleManias were so lackluster.
Like 23, 24, 24. 25.
You know what's terrible? 26. 24 was Orton, Triple H, and Cena, and 25 had Triple H and Orton. It's like a downgrade. You know, you work towards the triple threat, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always had a problem with that. It always kind of makes me grossed out.
We'll talk about Mania here before the night's over. But I remember 20 was the first one I saw. Goldberg, Lesnar.
Terrible.
With Austin as the referee. Terrible match, but I loved it. Just because, like, I remember there was a game. One, I think it was Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar's moves were, like, exactly the same.
Right, right.
Except
yeah.
for their finisher.
Right.
So I was like, I wonder who would win in a match.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, of course, Austin's the special referee.
And Austin pretty much won.
And Austin won the match.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. But, and then Taker coming back after
yeah,
the Buried Alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was just set up. That Mania, I was like, all right, good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Vince.
Yeah, that was the last Mania I bought, actually.
Oh, yeah, and then you had a Rock and Mick Foley versus Evolution.
Right, and the Evolution went over, which I was crazy surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised. And that was Rock's last match up until recently.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's so true.
So he went out on his back.
Yeah, which
Pause.
Is what you're supposed to do.
But which is what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're digressing. So 21, you fell off.
Yeah.
What was
yeah.
it about 21 you didn't
Cena.
Like?
Cena. I've never
bought into Cena?
Well, it, for different reasons at different times.
You didn't like the rap gimmick.
At that time, no, he just wasn't a champion to me. Like, he wasn't main event material. Like, I just didn't. Neither was JBL, to be honest with you. I mean,
but he was good with the belt.
He was, but it wasn't.
He wasn't a WWE champion.
It wasn't marquee, you know, like John Cena versus JBL. Like, to me, last year with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, it's just like this complete lapse in quality, or at least prestige to me.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly, I know it was for different belts, but my point is, the top of the card was just so much less prestigious.
There was Triple H, Batista for the world title,
which I like Triple H a lot. Batista, I'm not into, especially at that point in my life, you know. And I don't know. It just feels like between the time that 20 and 21, there was such a like talent just leaving. You know what I'm saying? Like Lesnar and Goldberg were both gone at that point.
Literally the next night.
Yeah, tragedy that Lesnar left so fast. You know what I'm saying? And Cena was the guy. You know, Cena and Batista, and it just. I was just not, it was out of touch with me. Like, I just did not feel it.
I think that was kind of the period where wrestling started to go back down. Like, it was down in the early 90s, even though Bret and Shawn were killing it.
But just no one cared.
No one cared about it.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, then it kind of came back up, obviously, in the late 90s, early 2000s. But then, in the 05 through, like, 08, 09 kind of period was a down period for wrestling. And I was then just kind of a casual fan. I'd be like, all right. Well,
I was passive.
If I missed Raw, it wasn't the end of the world.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
But I remember, I think, I mean, I watched every WrestleMania still, even if I didn't know the storylines, I'd watch the WrestleMania, to watch Mania. And then it kept going, and I started to buy into John Cena.
Okay.
I started to say, you know what? John Cena is the guy. I get it. He's Hogan. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's honestly Hulk Hogan. So I got it. I was rocking with Cena, and then Taker obviously always had great matches. But to me, what brought you back? Because now you're a consistent watcher.
Consistent now. CM Punk brought me back.
Was it the promo?
Absolutely.
Now, for people listening who watch wrestling, and if you do not know what CM Punk promo we're talking about, something's wrong with you. One,
right?
Two, but it was go YouTube it. You'll see CM Punk sitting on the top of the stage.
Indian style with a Stone Cold shirt on.
With a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt on. And what we like to call in the wrestling business, he was shooting.
Right.
It was a shoot interview, which means it was real.
Right.
Wasn't scripted, Motai. This wasn't a scripted thing that he was talking about.
A lot of breakage of the fourth wall.
Breakage of the fourth wall. You know, the suspension of disbelief wasn't suspended. We were believing.
Oh, yeah. I ate that shit with the fucking
spin. I was like, whoa.
Because as he said, as somebody like me, who I feel like WWE does not market to me whatsoever, you know, like they don't give a shit if I'm a fan or not. CM Punk was voicing every frustration that I had as a fan, you know, and it was beautiful. It was great. It was awesome.
To set it up for you, Motai, just so you kind of understand what we're talking about here, CM Punk, do you know who CM Punk is? No. Motai?
No, I don't.
Don't put the mic down ever.
Not even when I'm saying.
You don't know who CM Punk is?
No.
Well, anyway, he was kind of a star in the independent wrestling scene, right? Mm-hmm. And then he made it to the WWE, which is the big time, obviously, right?
Okay.
And he wasn't really getting pushed right.
Right.
All the smart wrestling fans, they're called Marks, Smarks.
Yeah.
Like Kyle and I. We all love CM Punk. We wanted to see CM Punk shine. But they weren't letting him shine. So CM Punk's like, you know what? Take this job and shove it.
Right.
And he was going to leave legitimately the WWE. He's just going to leave. He's like, you know, my contract's about to be up. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm not going to be here. All right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how this guy is in real life. He's just kind of like, I don't care. And anyway, so they gave him the mic. And they're like, all right, well, this is going to be your last Raw, you know, your last TV show. Say what you want to say, you know. And boy, did they F up. He pretty much started going off, and then he ended up pretty much saying, this company will be better off when Vince McMahon, who's the owner, when Vince McMahon dies. And then a superstar was born. And
it was
he ended
awesome.
Up, they ended up believing him. After that promo, they actually believed in him, which is so funny. The promo, that the interview he was giving to say goodbye pretty much is the one that kept him around. Because the office saw it, and they were like, whoa, where did that come from?
It was masterfully done. It was everything about it. Like, I love his promo style, probably more than anyone in history.
You think so?
I just love the way that he sounds smart, and he's, like, very calm. You know what I'm saying?
And what's funny is you believe – when you see CM Punk, he looks kind of like a scraggly kid.
honestly, you know, you're like, I don't believe him as a wrestler.
Right.
But when
right.
he gives a promo, you're like, he could kick my ass.
Oh, absolutely. Like, for sure.
And that's the point of it in wrestling, is to make them believe that right. they could kick your ass.
But yeah, so that was the moment I came back. Like, that was great. Because
that
so.
Video, that promo went viral.
Oh, yeah.
It was on datadream.com the next day, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember, and that's what brought me back, too, because I wasn't watching The Rise of Punk.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
And then I saw that, and I was like, was that real? I was like, was that real?
I've always liked Punk, because when they brought ECW back, I was really interested in that. When they put the title on Van Damme, I was like, okay, this is cool. Obviously, it was a fucking shit show. But I remember watching that first ECW, because I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome, you know?
And the first episode was good.
The first episode was ECW. And it quickly lost its way after that. But
yeah, once they got like that whole LED sound system board, and took off the extreme part when it wasn't.
But I've always liked CM Punk because I like the idea of CM Punk. Like this underground guy, you know, that's really not supposed to be there. You know, like I just like that narrative to begin with. And he plays the role perfectly.
And the Punk documentary was
perfect. One of the best WWE produced DVDs ever, I think.
Yeah, definitely maybe DVD of the year. Have you seen the 50-year history of the
WWE?
No,
I have not seen that one yet.
That's definitely a must watch. But yeah, that's what got me back too. I saw Punk. Punk became champion.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to catch us up to normal.
Yeah, time. Yeah, yeah.
Punk
yeah.
became champion.
Normal time.
Held the championship for...
Well over a year.
Well over a year. It was like 400 days.
Yeah, 400 days. And some change.
424.
Lost it to The Rock, which is... You have to drop it.
He lost to The Rock, who made his return
right.
at the previous WrestleMania, but...
He was doing his little three-month stint here.
Made his return. Won the title, right? I remember the go home show, I believe, for the Rumble was here in Houston, right?
With the 20th anniversary?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was go home.
But it was close
it
to
was
the
very
Rumble.
Close, yeah, yeah.
And which actually if you watched the Slammies this past 2 Mondays ago.
We were there for that.
We were there for that and it won LOL moment of the year.
Right.
When The Rock sang a song to one of the female talents there. Yeah, so boom, CM Punk loses the title after a historic reign to The Rock.
Right.
Rock debuts new title belt.
Right, yeah.
Obviously. Rock goes face defends title against CM Punk at Chamber.
Right.
Retains. Boom, we set it up. Twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
John Cena versus The Rock.
The rematch
year
1 year later.
For the WWE Championship.
Right.
Cena wins.
And revenging his loss from last year.
And then, boom, catches up. As Cena has his title reign from WrestleMania to SummerSlam, we have a new star
right.
budding who is in a tag team at Mania.
Right, yeah.
And now started to break off from that tag team to become a superstar. His name, Daniel Bryan. On the indies, he was Bryan Danielson.
Right, right.
but Daniel Bryan... What is it about Bryan?
I don't know. I like him, but there's
I was a Bryan hater at first.
Really?
I was like, I don't like this guy.
I never thought he would be anything. I never thought he'd win the belt or
because
be
you know
event.
he was in NXT.
Right.
I think The Miz was his
Pro. Yeah, that's right. It is, yeah.
And which is so funny.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then he actually got released for a while from WWE.
Yeah.
Came back and then became this Well, I don't understand. It was so organic, I guess, because he definitely wasn't being pushed as a top star.
Absolutely not.
Ever.
No.
Until his chant, Tyler, is he does this, and he says yes repeatedly.
And the crowd goes crazy.
Crazy. Now, they did put the world title on him for a short period of time.
But the new world title, though.
The new world title.
Like the diminished world title.
The world heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much a glorified Intercontinental title.
Right, yeah.
And he lost at WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, in 18 seconds. 28, right?
Yeah.
And then, so boom, now we have this big star, and here we are, SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, SummerSlam is supposed to be the second biggest show of the year.
Right.
Which I always thought it was for the Royal Rumble, but SummerSlam, second biggest show of the year, the summertime WrestleMania.
Right.
What did you think of the build-up to SummerSlam?
I liked it. I mean, I don't feel strongly either way about it, you know? I like Daniel Bryan, and I always like when somebody... He reminds me of Chris Benoit to a certain degree, as somebody you don't ever think would be in the main event. So I always like, I like it when guys you never think would make it, make it. I mean, it's cool. It's always cool when that happens. The build-up was fine, you know. I don't like how the build-up was like Cena being this gracious guy, like giving him the opportunity.
I'm going to give you a shot, little buddy.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Cena
hey,
always
you see
does
this WWE?
Yeah.
Come take it from me.
It's
come
like
on.
Cena's like, oh, I know you guys like this little scrapper, so I'll give him a chance, you know? It's just like, yeah. And that's the way it was set up, you know? Like, it wasn't like Daniel Bryan was this threat, you know, more though than worthy, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was cool when he won, but of course that fell apart, like, what, 17 seconds later?
Yeah, he won the championship, right, Tyler?
Yeah.
At SummerSlam.
Finally. Yeah. And fans really wanted this to happen.
All the wrestling, like every wrestling fan wanted him to win, right?
Everybody, yeah.
Everyone wanted him to win. And he won. And I was surprised when he won. I was like, whoa. Did he really just
clean,
beat John Cena?
Clean.
Clean, 1-2-3.
Yeah, no interference, just a solid victory.
And Triple H was the special referee. And about a minute later, he celebrated in the ring.
Yeah.
Confetti came down. Okay, now, we were both probably thinking the same thing. You were waiting for Randy Orton to come out, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. When somebody has had the briefcase, yeah.
You were just waiting. But when they played his music, they played Daniel's music, he's celebrating in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H raises his hand.
Yeah.
Then the confetti comes down. I was like, oh, they're not going to do it.
They're just going to let it go.
Did you think the same thing?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. They're actually going to put the belt on Bryan.
Yeah, and I wasn't convinced that Orton was going to cash in that night either.
See, to me, I was like, it makes sense for Orton to cash in. He's kind of a tweener right now.
Yeah, at that
face,
point.
Face, real stale.
So stale.
Super stale. And I'm like, well, he cashes in, beats Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. You have the top heel in the company.
Just like that.
Like that, right?
Right, yeah.
Heels, wrestling term for bad guy, by the
okay.
way. So anyway, I'm like, wow. So they have to do this. And then, boom, the confetti comes down. I'm like, wow, they're not going to do it.
Right.
And then Randy Orton comes out. Triple H pedigrees Daniel Bryan. And we have a new WWE champion in Randy Orton.
Just like that. Three guys held the belt that one night.
How'd you feel?
You know, honestly, when it happened, I was like, okay, this could work. You know, this whole new corporation thing is kind of cool. I think, like,
the authority.
Yeah, having that moment of, like, complete, like, oh, Bryan did it, and then taking it away instantly could be good. Like, you know, like, that could be.
I was a fan of it. I liked it.
Right, but there was just never any payoff.
And then the next pay-per-view is Night of Champions?
Yeah, I think so. With the referee fast counted. Yeah, it was Night of Champions, yeah.
And Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship for a second time in less than a month.
With an asterisk next to it.
With an asterisk next to it because the referee counted too fast. He went 1-2-3 instead of 1-2-3. Now, I know smart wrestling fans who saw that were like, okay.
Immediately, yeah.
Bryan's getting stripped of the title. The next night.
Right, right, yeah, yeah, for
we
sure.
We all knew it.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody
that fast
it.
Count was way too obvious.
Right, right.
It was a 1-2-3. And, okay.
Yeah.
And then Orton, so anyway, the championship was held in advance, which I've never heard that term before in my life, but it was held in advance.
Right, right.
And then Orton at whatever the next pay-per-view was.
Hell in a Cell, right?
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Wins the WWE Championship after Shawn Michaels.
Super kicks, yeah.
Super kicks Daniel Bryan in the Hell in a Cell.
Right.
Whatever. Literally after that, Bryan,
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. So, I mean, where we are now is there's the two main belts in WWE.
Well, let's catch them up again.
Okay.
Hell in a Cell. After SummerSlam, Cena's out with a injury to his tricep.
That should be till, like 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months is the it was the least amount of time. From recovery.
Everybody
from
was like,
surgery.
Okay, we're going to get some Cena-free time here.
And Cena came out on Raw and said, you know, I'm going to be gone for 6 months. And like the fans actually popped for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyway, so he's gone 6 months minimum. Now, there were talks that he could be gone for a year.
Oh, wow.
And Cena, being the superhero that he is, trained his ass off and came back in 2.5 months. Almost three. Or was it 3 months? It was about 3 months.
It was give or take, yeah.
Comes back in that quick a time. Legitimately. Legitimately.
Yeah, right. Which is amazing.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
It's like not even supposed to ever happen
right,
in life.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And wins the World Heavyweight Championship from a guy named Alberto Del Rio.
Right.
Who, thank God.
Has finally got the belt off.
He's got the belt off. Now, this is what's confusing for a lot of casual wrestling fans.
Right.
There are two champions, two top champions.
Right.
There's the WWE champion, which historically is the number one guy in the company.
Yeah.
And then there's the world heavyweight champion, who's historically, who's ever the world champion, is the number one guy in the company.
Right. In the lineage of the world heavyweight champion.
In the lineage of the world
champion.
It's
beyond WWE.
It goes back to WCW.
TNA. NWA. Yeah.
So on and so forth. So they're in a conundrum. We as wrestling fans, when the title world title first came back, 2002, mm-hmm. Triple H, Eric Bischoff gives it Triple H.
Right.
Back when the brand split happened.
Right.
I was like, that makes sense.
Absolutely. All right,
you need two champions, two shows.
Right. For sure.
And then I was like, but why is the world title on Raw?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And then there's always been the stigma to the world title of, okay, it's just the world title.
Yeah, and then they neutered that belt, though. Like, having it open WrestleMania, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous, you know?
Twice it opened WrestleMania.
Yeah, no. They treated it, they neutered the title.
Yeah, no, it was just, like, one of those things where it's like, man, like, you know. But even back then, I was like, it's the world title. It's not the WWE champion.
WWE is part of the world.
Yeah, it's WWE's world title. You know,
right,
it's weird. So it's like, then when Cena came to Raw, boom, WWE championship, world. Okay, I was like, makes sense.
Right, yeah.
SmackDown's the B show anyway.
Right,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And made sense, boom. Even though with the world title, Booker T got his sixth world title reign, which was pretty cool because he was Booker.
Hell yeah.
And it was actually a great run.
Absolutely.
As King Booker. But anyway, even back then, I still didn't like the world title that much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, 2 years ago or whenever it was where the brand split pretty much ended.
Right, yeah. Just
with the Super Show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, why are there two champions?
And they've let it go on so long now.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's one of the things I hate the most about modern wrestling is the two titles. I don't like it at all. I hate it.
Yeah. The two world titles. So it's like you don't know who's the end-all, be-all top guy.
Right.
You did know like when Alberto Del Rio was the world title champion and The Rock was the WWE champion.
Right, yeah.
You knew
yeah.
who the top guy was then.
For sure.
But you still didn't know, Motai. It was like, why are there two belts?
Right.
And for years, wrestling fans have speculated of they got to do a unification of the titles. Because when the world title originally came into the WWE, it was the WCW championship.
Right.
With the WCW champion being Booker T.
Right.
And he ended up losing it to The Rock.
Right.
I think won it back some kind of way.
I think so.
Won it back from The Rock. And then there was this whole thing of we're going to merge these titles together.
The WWF and the WCW title.
Were merged together to be the Undisputed Championship.
Right.
Which was awarded to Chris Jericho when he beat Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
Same night.
In the same night. At Vengeance. Of,
yeah.
No less.
A December pay-per-view.
Right, yeah. Hey, good look in there, Kyle. So anyway, speculation for years that there's going to be unification.
Yeah. It's been a necessity for years. They just
been a necessity. Been speculated as well.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, which is one of the top four pay-per-views in WWE, which this year was very lackluster.
Very.
At the end of the pay-per-view, after Randy Orton retains his WWE championship from the Big Show, which was a shit match.
God, terrible, terrible booking.
Terrible match. John Cena comes down to the ring.
Right.
Holds up his world title.
Mm-hmm.
Orton holds up his WWE championship.
It's in the books.
Show's over. Next night on Raw, Triple H, who's the chief operations officer,
the shit they come up with,
announces there's going to be a match for the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship at TLC in a TLC match, which is tables, ladders, and chairs in Houston, Texas at the Toyota Center.
Yes, sir.
Now, as a wrestling smark, what stuck out to you about that?
The complete lack of the word unification.
There was nowhere did he ever say the word a unification match.
Right, right.
Until 3 or 4 days later, he did an interview with Michael Cole and said there needs to be one champion.
Right, I feel like they're doing some course correction now. I don't know if they're trying to swerve, though. That's the thing. But, I mean, because you feel like the unification, WrestleMania 30 title unification, that seems like a no-brainer. But, I mean, they've unified the titles before on a B-show, so I guess it's in the realm of possibility, you know?
Here's the thing. I don't know if they could maintain, because right now, if you think title unification, you think who they're going to put in the title unification match, you would have to say John Cena obviously has to be there.
Right.
And it would either have to be Punk, Bryan, or Orton.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let Bryan do it.
No. Especially after just having a run in the main
event.
And
I think they're waiting off on Punk. I think they're going to put the title back on Punk soon.
Yeah.
But they want that long reign to kind of be out of people's minds for a minute.
Right, right.
Because it's almost been a year since he's held the title.
The Royal Rumble, yeah.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so yeah, it's almost a year.
It's almost a year. So they're really – I honestly think Punk's going to win the Rumble. That's my pick to win.
Okay,
makes sense to me. Anyway – so you gotta have to think. All right, well they're gonna have to go with Orton and Cena.
Yeah,
it makes sense. But knowing WWE, they're not gonna want to hold out to Mania with these two people being champion.
Oh no,
they can't wait 3 months, 4 months.
It's so sad that it's Orton and Cena again after they just it's been. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I am recently, at first, John Cena fan. I became John Cena hater.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a Cena fan again.
So you go through phases with Cena.
I go through phases. I kind of like Cena because it's like, you know what? What's really not to like about him in a way?
Right,
it's
right.
It's like he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
He's the top guy.
Right.
I mean.
He's a company man.
He's the company man. He's always there for the fans.
Look, Cena gets a bad rap for sure, but it's stale. Both of them are stale. Like.
But I know we want Cena to turn heel. But he's not going to do it, ever.
No. They're going to tease us. They teased us on Monday with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the end of Raw.
Yeah, which was awesome. Well, really well done.
So there's the championship ascension ceremony.
Right, which is the shit they come up with. Yeah, they come up with such bullshit.
And it's where they held the world title and WWE title above the ring.
Right.
With former world and WWE champions in the ring.
Right.
Now, did you notice what I noticed about the people in the ring? Some of them were like, why the hell are you here, Great Khali?
Oh, Great Khali, yeah, for sure.
Ziggler,
yeah, no, sad. Ziggler.
Even Daniel Bryan. What are you doing in the ring right now?
Yeah, because, yeah. Well, Bryan at least did have a semi-lengthy world heavyweight title.
Semi, but it's still like, what are you doing here?
Right,
you know, it's like, when I think world champion, I don't think of those three people.
Right.
But there were some I did. Shawn Michaels.
Bret Hart. Booker
T.
Yeah.
All people who you think. Because I think, honestly, when you think world title, I think of two people. I think of Ric Flair, and I think, but really I think Ric Flair when I think NWA title.
Yeah.
When I hear world title, I think WCW title.
Same here.
And then we think WCW title, you got to think about Booker T.
Right, right. He was the last person to hold it.
Last person to hold it.
Or at least he's the one that brought it over.
Brought it over to WWF.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, Booker, that makes complete sense that you're in the ring.
Sure, yeah.
Triple H, multi-time world champion.
Both.
Makes sense of both.
Yeah.
Makes sense you're in the Big Show, same. Held ECW, WWE, and world title.
Sure.
And WCW. Won WCW championship in his first match ever.
Yeah, ever. Pay-per-view main event against Hogan.
Against Hogan.
Yeah.
Anyway, which still blows my mind.
Yeah, that's some great booking, guys.
Hey, WCW did it right.
Yeah, obviously.
So anyway, boom, they rise the belts up to the top. Mm-hmm. And obviously when we're doing this podcast, wrestling fans, this before TLC pay-per-view, it's before the show after the TLC pay-per-view. So we don't know what's happened yet.
Right, right.
But by the time you hear this, we'll know.
Sure.
But whatever, this is what we thought at the time.
Right, right.
So,
right.
Belts are put up to the top.
Right.
And then chaos breaks out between Cena.
Beautiful chaos.
Cena and Orton. Tell them what happened, Kyle Hubbard.
All right. Well, I think Cena and Orton started to go at it first. So there's all the former champions in the ring. So half of them take Orton to one side. The other half takes Cena. CM Punk takes Orton, and then Orton hits him. CM Punk retaliates. Then Triple H interferes.
Yeah, and Pedigree. No.
Not yet. I think it goes Punk hit Orton. Triple H hit Punk. Bryan hit Triple H. Michaels hits Bryan.
Yes. And then Orton goes after somebody.
No, Orton goes at. This was such chaos. This all happened super fast. No, Orton goes after Bryan. Bryan pushes him off. He hits Stephanie. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
I think.
The thing,
Superkick CM Punk?
Yeah, it was Punk. It was Punk when he was attacking Triple H. The main takeaway from this, which was beautiful, because the feeling that I think a lot of people had, including myself, was that they were back putting all their baskets in the Cena or in all their eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
Again, when they have two guys that are fucking super hot and they're completely ignored.
Pause.
Yeah, right. Super pause. Hot meaning the crowd is super into these guys, you know, because they're super hot. And then
so dreamy.
Yeah. But the fact that in the end, Brian and Punk both played big, significant roles in that thing made me so happy, you know? Because it was like, okay, they're not completely throwing these guys down the mid-card. You know what I mean? So that was the main takeaway for me.
And then, though, at the end, we said Orton pushes Brian pushes Orton into Stephanie McMahon, who's Triple H's real-life wife.
Right.
And she falls to the ground. Triple H gets mad. Pedigrees
Orton. Who that's their boy.
That's their boy. That's the guy they want to be the face of the company, right?
Right. Their hand-picked champion.
And then something interesting happens. The closing shot of Monday Night Raw is Orton on the ground.
Cowering in the corner,
looking up. And they see Stephanie, Triple H.
Corporate Kane,
which is something we didn't talk about. Corporate Kane. And John Cena all standing together.
That's the last image on Raw going into this match.
What does that mean to you?
Nothing, I don't think. I think it's going to amount to nothing. I think they're just teasing, just fucking with us.
You think so? Do you think?
Well, you know, if they're going to unify the titles, which is a big thing that I think everybody's wanted for a while, then it's more than the realm of possibility they turn Cena heel than ever before.
You think so?
Than ever before. I'm not saying it's completely possible, though. I'm not saying they're going to do it.
Because Cena did debut as a heel, and he was a good heel.
Right, but Hogan was a heel, too. Before Hogan was a heel in his early career also.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Okay, you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Nope, not at all. I know some of these names, but not. Besides that, nope.
Yeah, okay, sorry about that, man. But I don't think they'll turn Cena heel. But I think that shot was like, okay, the authority is going to interfere in this match.
Right.
Now, you don't think, or do you? I don't think you think that they're going to unify the titles at TLC.
I'm really 50-50 with it. At first, I was like, there's no way they're going to unify the titles. I think they've gone out of their way, though, to say that there's going to be one champion, blah, 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 blah. That could just be straight for buy right
champions now. Champions of champions or whatever.
That could be straight for buys, though.
You know what's funny, though? The WWE app, they did a poll on the app to name the new champion after he's crowned. It was the undisputed World Heavyweight Champion, the undisputed WWE Champion, or the Unified Champion were the three options.
Right.
The Unified Champion won by just a little bit, but the Unified Champion won. And then Michael Cole said, we're going to have to the corporate WWE is going to take this under consideration. And
right, yeah.
I'm like, so we're not going to name it the Unified Champion.
Right, no, that's a terrible name.
What would you name it?
WWE World Heavyweight Title.
And that's what the WWE Championship was called for a little bit.
Right.
Like,
that's
in
the way
Austin area.
With the Undisputed and the Unified attached to it, I think it just leaves the door open for it to be disputed or ununified again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think they just need a solid name with no, you know...
The WWE World Heavyweight
Just combine them. It sounds fine. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
So do you think they're going to unify the championships at TLC?
At TLC, if I had
Houston, Texas.
If I had to bet one way or the other with me feeling very 50-50, I would say no.
Okay, and why no?
Just because they've had a history of screwy finishes the past few pay-per-views. I mean, indecisive, you know, non-finishes at pay-per-views for like at least three of the major ones this year.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's, I don't know. I just don't think they're, I think they would want to hold off on the unification until Mania.
But what better way to unify the titles than in a TLC match?
What better way to switch the titles to the other guys than in a TLC match?
But is that in the rules though? Because think about it. When someone wins the tag team champ, when the tag team titles are on the line,
right.
If someone grabs one title belt, they win.
Right.
They're the winner. Now, say Edge and Christian versus the Hardys. I don't know why those are the first two teams I always think of. Say Edge grabs one title, Hardy grabs the other. They're not all of a sudden tag team champions.
No, that's true. I mean, that's true. But
Bret and Shawn, no, not Bret and Shawn, Razor and Shawn, right. WrestleMania 10, two Intercontinental titles hanging above the ring.
And they just had to snatch
whoever
one.
Gets the first one, that is the winner.
Right, right. But those both the tag titles and the IC titles are two things with their own lineage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's two different histories in this match. There's two completely separate beasts. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's true.
But I don't know. The door's open for that to happen, for them to be up at the same time, fall down at the same time, and have each other's belts in their hands. You know, they'll look around all happen. Confused, and then you'll get see the thing in the corner, and then you'll be like, God damn it!
Yeah. All rights reserved. Yeah. I shouldn't have ordered the pay-per-view. Yeah. I'll actually be there. I'll be there.
Nice,
Sunday.
Nice.
So I'll just be in the crowd like, what? Yeah. No, I'll probably look at the Titantron to see the little thing. I think they're going to unify them.
I really hope so.
Because here's the thing. You unify them, right, leading up into Mania, that means – because here's the thing. Whoever – say they don't unify them. Whoever wins the Rumble,
it's true.
They're going to be like, world heavyweight. And then, no, sorry, Rumble winner. We're unifying the titles at WrestleMania.
Right, yeah.
I think they want to
unify them. You're right.
I think they want to unify them and then have them – and then whoever – in the Elimination Chamber, whoever wins the Chamber match or something. Well, actually, I don't know how that's going to work now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they'll just defend the title in the Chamber.
Maybe, which – yeah. I don't know. That's a good question because that would change – quite a bit.
Yeah, and then Money in the Bank, one Money in the Bank winner.
That's what it should be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have to wrap this up, but what did you think about Sandow cashing in and losing?
Terrible. Terrible. Sandow's good. I mean, and it was just fodder for Cena. It's just the same thing again. Just Cena does not need to beat any. Cena's over forever. You know what I mean?
He's forever over.
I don't know. It was just cutting off Sandow's legs, and now he's on the pre-show with Ziggler, a former World Heavyweight Champion. For TLC, you know?
No, he's not on the pre-show. I thought it was Fandango.
Is it Fandango and Ziggler?
I believe so.
Oh, really? Maybe you're right. Maybe I got that wrong.
I believe so. I believe it's Fandango and Ziggler. It's actually, no, yeah. Damian Sandow versus Big E Langston for Intercontinental Championship.
You're right. That's right.
Which, I'm glad Langston has the title, by the way.
So do I, but I don't know, man. They just bury people, you know? Like, they just cut people off at the knees. I hate it.
Brian, let's go through real quick. We're going to wrap this up on this note, even though when this airs, all this stuff would have already happened. But why not just go ahead and let's pick all of our winners
for
the whole pay-per-view. And then we're going to be able to – we have this audio record of who
– was right.
Was right. And we're going to have to put some kind of like a little wager on this or something.
Yeah.
And who has the most correct matches won. All right. And let's do this. The pre-show kickoff – we'll just do this for fun – Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler.
Man, I hope Ziggler wins.
No, knowing his luck.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna go Ziggler, even though I think Fandango could be a future star if they drop the dance gimmick.
They got to change his gimmick.
Anyway, so let's go. First match: Cody Rhodes and Goldust, the tag team champions, versus Team Rybacksel. Ryback and Curtis Axel, which is their legitimate team name.
Wow. I actually kind of like it.
Ryback's.
Goldust.
No, we're not done.
Oh, wow.
Versus.
Oh, wow.
Big Show and Rey Mysterio.
What?
Versus the Real Americans, Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro, in a fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships.
I do want to just point out it's terrible. Big Show went from main eventing Survivor Series and now is a tag team match. But moving on beyond that, I think it's either going to be Real Americans or Goldust and Cody.
I'm going to go Goldust and Cody. They're killing it. I love Goldust being back, don't you?
No, he's great. Yeah, it's awesome.
You want to take a pick, Motai?
Nah.
All right, Intercontinental Championship match. We have Big E Langston versus Damian Sandow.
I think Big E's going to win it. Sandow's going to get it at some point, though, for sure.
I think so, too. We have a singles match for the WWE Divas Championship, which I wish they would make the Women's Championship.
Oh, God, I know.
Divas Championship. AJ Lee, who's the champion and who is super hot.
So hot.
Versus Natalya.
I want AJ to – she's the only one that I can stomach.
What do you think of the Total Divas show, by the way?
I haven't seen the show, but I mean, I think it's terrible. I mean, I think it's just a terrible idea, you know?
It's not bad. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
It's not terrible. It puts certain people over.
Like who? The Bella Twins?
The Bella Twins are over. It puts one of the Uso guys over.
Oh, that's good.
You buy in more. I think this is kind of why I'm starting to like Cena a little bit. I watch the show because I'm a mark. But
right, yeah, yeah.
Cena, he's almost like a regular guy
he's
on there.
He's likable on the show.
He's likable, and yeah. he looks at whichever Bella, Nikki Bella, or whichever one, Nikki. He looks at her like, God, you're so stupid.
Yeah,
all the time. I'm like, I like you, John Cena.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
But I want AJ to take it. I like her.
I want AJ as well. 3-on-1 handicap match. Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family.
I mean, the Wyatts, I mean, you know, this is so slop. Why would you want to see a 3-on-1 match? I don't. That's so terrible to me.
Well, the next match, 3-on-1 handicap match, CM Punk versus The Shield.
I think Punk may win because of an infighting with The Shield. They're definitely teasing a Roman Reigns breakout.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this will either
be... The Shield, though, real quick. Didn't you think that Ambrose was going to be the big star at first?
Yeah, yeah.
And the big single put the single title.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they started pushing Reigns, right. Roman Reigns, which who has a great wrestling lineage in his family,
sure,
you know, obviously.
Sure.
The Rock's cousin or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yokozuna.
That whole family tree.
Rikishi, Usos.
Yeah.
High Chief Peter Maivia, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
They're all in the
he
same
comes from
family
royalty,
tree.
Basically. Yeah.
He comes from wrestling royalty. So does Natalya, though.
That's true.
But then I look at Seth Rollins,
mm-hmm.
and I see Jeff Hardy meet CM Punk.
Oh, that's really good, yeah. He's crazy. Rollins is nuts. He does some insane stuff.
I think he's going to be a top guy.
I think they all
sure.
will. They're all great, I think. I really like them a lot.
I think there's some like match, some YouTube match back there like when they're all in the indies where they're actually in a triple threat with each other.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I believe.
But I think Punk may win this because of what they're trying to do story-wise with the Shield moving forward.
Okay. Now, but what do you think, Shield? We had like a possible tease of a breakup almost. With Ambrose,
they're planting the seeds. I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger. It may not be at TLC, but something's going to happen at TLC to further that storyline, without a doubt.
Someone might mess up a spot or
yes,
something like that.
Like, you know, because his finishing move is the spear, so he's fighting Ambrose. Punk jumps out of the way, Reigns spears him. You know,
Ambrose.
It writes itself.
Ambrose will leave, though. I'm pretty
– yeah.
You think Ambrose will be the first one to leave?
Or
you think they're just going to dissolve?
They'll either dissolve –
I'm afraid if they dissolve, Ambrose will stay mid-card.
Yeah.
Roman will get pushed. And Seth Rollins will be...
If they completely dissolve? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Because there's three of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Reigns would be the one to break out. But it did seem like Ambrose was antagonizing both of them.
All right, and we'll go see it. So you say CM Punk for that one?
Yeah.
And then here it is. Tables, ladders, and chairs match, according to Wikipedia, to unify the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. You have the WWE Champion Randy Orton versus the World Heavyweight Champion John Cena in a match, which is a glorified ladder match.
Right, right. Yeah. Cena is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not bet on Cena.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely.
I think the best case scenario that could come out of that is Triple H is the reason Cena wins. I think that's the best case scenario.
You think of a best case?
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm putting my money on Cena. I think the authority obviously has to make some kind of something.
Yeah.
They got
to
do something.
They're going to have to pick a side.
Gotta pick a side.
Yeah.
Let's hope that it's not just we flip titles, though.
Yeah, that would be worst case scenario.
Definitely worst case scenario. Kyle Hubbard.
This was awesome.
Two episodes of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
Yeah.
One about hip hop, one about wrestling.
Best things in the world.
Two best things in the world. I had fun talking about wrestling with you. There's so much more we could talk about potentially.
Yes, sir.
You never know what could happen out of that.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed this podcast.
Me too.
Kyle, anything you shout out your Twitter and Instagram or
I'm
whatever.
Actually the only place you can find me on the internet now is Facebook. So
no Twitter.
No, I got rid of my Twitter.
Why?
I just trying to live simpler, I guess.
Can you get on Instagram? I think you would enjoy Instagram.
I might check Instagram out. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm more of an Instagram guy than I am a Twitter guy.
Yeah, but I mean if my Instagram is filled with people like taking pictures of flyers for whatever show they're doing all the time.
Well, don't follow those people.
Yeah, I'd have to change my following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change
we'll
the
see.
People you follow. We'll do it. We might, ladies and gentlemen, we might get Kyle Hubbard on Instagram.
Stay tuned.
Life goal.
Yeah.
Life goal. DJ Motai's busy trying to Google AJ Lee over here.
Yeah.
And you will not be disappointed, sir. And Kyle Hubbard, go find him on Facebook. Kyle Hubbard, where can they get the album?
KyleHubbard.bandcamp.com.
Or on iTunes?
Not iTunes currently, not right now. Okay. It's just for free on Bandcamp or anywhere on the internet. Ranked number 3 on Houston Chronicles top 10 list, 2012, all genres. Check it out.
Dope. Well, Kyle Hubbard, parts 1 and 2 of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand, almost closing out the year here in 2013. Yes. Motai, it's been a year. It's been a great year. And stop looking at AJ Lee.
I was comparing the two.
Okay. Oh, Natalya versus AJ? Yeah. No, you definitely easy. Like AJ more. Most definitely. Okay. With that being said, Kyle, we appreciate you coming on. You can follow me at Brad Gilmore. Follow DJ Motai at DJ Motai. And Peaches is here in Digital Spirit. And you can follow her at Tata La Peaches with a Z. And hope you all have a good holiday break. Christmas is right around the corner. Happy holidays. If you don't believe in Christmas, Kwanzaa, happy Christmahana Kwanzaa and Festivus. We'll see you all next time on the Brad Gilmore Show
on demand.
Peace.
Yeah.